6, music.
Today from 4, Steve Lamacq. At 1, Nimone. Right now, Ian Lee, in for George Lamb.
Very exciting. For everybody concerned, it's my last day filling in for George Lamb.
Oh.
There was a hesitation there and then insincerity. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
Chris is with us. What are you doing?
I'm just arranging my notes.
Okay.
Or your notes.
Oh, and who's this mysterious lady? Oh, it's Ellie, who's had 2 days off. And then when I said this morning, are you feeling better, Ellie? She went, yeah, I was just a bit tired. That was what you said.
You are underwhelming it.
She missed out 2 words, of you.
Yes. Oh, okay. It's like that. So you've had a good sleep, have you? You're back up to...
Yes, thanks.
Well done. Yeah. We had to have Will with us yesterday, who was just too good looking.
Too cool for you.
His hair was too perfect for the show. I couldn't have him in for another day. We have Lee Mack coming in. He's coming about 10:30, I believe. Mm-hmm. I like Lee Mack. He's very funny. Although I hadn't seen him live for ages. I've seen him live a few times. And he was on... over Christmas, there was one of his live concerts on the telly. He's got a potty mouth on him. Oh, and yet you see him in his sitcom and like you think, oh, what a nice young man. What a polite... Yeah, no, he's not. He's a potty mouth. We've got a sportsman coming in, and there's a third person who I keep forgetting. You keep...
Noel Clarke.
The fella from Doctor Who. That's it. That's very exciting.
That's nominated, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
We'll upcoming star.
I believe today is the 40th anniversary of what? What is it? What is it? Oh, it's the Beatles' rooftop gig from Let It Be.
Oh. I've been doing that.
Yeah, something.
You did your research, didn't you?
Whose 30th birthday is it today?
Not yours.
Morph.
Is it?
Oh. Who's Morph, Chris?
Morph's that little plasticine dude.
Well done.
I remember him.
He's 30 years old, and there's a thing on the news today that they filmed. They've taken a photo shoot for him for Esquire magazine.
What?
And it took them 3 months to do. Surely it's like 10 minutes. You get a bit of plasticine, you get in with Chaz, and that's all it is.
It must be a bit of a diva.
40 years since the Let It Be concert, and so I'm asking the question today, what concerts have you walked out of? Have you ever walked... I'll let you think about it. We'll play a song. We're playing Idi Amin next. She's the shouty lady, isn't she? What concert have you ever walked out of? For whatever reason, maybe your wife started to give birth, or maybe you started to give birth if you're one of the ladies, or maybe they were rubbish. I walked out of a Beach Boys concert once. Yeah, I know. It was awful. I walked out during Good Vibrations. I said to my girlfriend, I can't take any more of this. They're just urinating over history here. It's like getting a Mona Lisa and, you know, doing horrible things to it. Anyway, I'm in a bit of a ranty mood again today. george.6music@bbc.co.uk is the email. 64046. I want to know which concerts you have walked out of for whatever reason. Here's the shouty lady. Oh my God, Idi Amin. I love that record. She's so angry, isn't she? She's furious. We should have more angry records. Who is the lady who did I Hate You Now?
Kelis,
that was a good song. And then she went and did the milkshake song, which is a bit rude. So the Beach Boys, I know everything there is to know about the Beach Boys. I'm obsessed with them. I know everything about them. I went and saw them. My girlfriend bought me tickets. I sort of didn't want to go because I know that they're this weird incarnation. There are 8 men on stage. I recognise 2 of those men. And one of those men had joined in 1966 when Brian Wilson stopped touring. So he doesn't really count as a Beach Boy, does he? And then they had a fella, David Marks, in there who was on the first 2 albums. Then he left. What's that all about? So I walked out during Good Vibrations. I was just stood there going, I cannot do this. This is awful. One concert I should have walked out of, I went to see the Wonder Stuff, right? Me and my then-girlfriend thought, we'll go for a laugh. They're a little bit rubbish. We'll go for a laugh. This is about 5 years ago, right? 20 quid, or 25 quid a ticket, at the Forum. Oh, the HMV Forum, as it's called now, as I noticed as I drove past today.
Oh.
Yes, the HMV Forum. We went and saw them. They did the set, finished... Came back and did the encore. Thought they're going to do the hits now. Going to do Size of a Cow and Welcome to the Cheap Seats. Here we go. Didn't do that. Came back for a second encore. They're going to do it now. They're going to do Size of a Cow. Didn't do their biggest hit. Did not do their biggest hit. And we came out of there effing and jeffing about the Wonder. So there's 2 questions for you. What gigs have you walked out of? And what bands have you seen that you just think, they've not delivered? You've not given me your money's worth. I want £15 of that back, please. george.6music, bbc.co.uk, 64046 is the text number. I do have to mention... I'll mention it in a minute. I saw last night on the television... Is it? Yes, the worst show I have ever. Did either of you see any TV last night?
No.
I saw. Ellie, did you see?
I can't remember. I think I did.
What?
Oh, I did. Yes, I did.
Hard. It's hard to tell through the bottom of a gin glass. Isn't it?
I was sleeping. I was exhausted.
Did you see anything that could be possibly considered the worst programme in the world ever?
I have my personal opinions, and yes, we have to watch it every week, and I think it's the worst programme in the world.
Hustle.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that.
The BBC dramas, you think, why bother? America does them so much better. You know, you've got Spooks, you've got Hustle, you've got Lost, and you've got 24. Watch them, they look like movies.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will play Opus 3. Is this the song I think it is?
Yes.
Okay, well, then here's a trivia question for you fact fans. What song did her dad write? Do you know? Have a listen, I'll explain all after this. Yeah, we get the point, love. So, her dad wrote...
No.
Yes,
wow.
He wrote the countdown music. There we go.
Stretching.
There we go. Fact. Okay, we're asking concerts you walked out of. Ian, when I lived in Dublin, we left a Radiohead concert because they were just doing a really, really boring show. No interaction, nothing. People, no matter where, pay a good amount of money to see a band, so somehow I expect them to really try. I went to see The Music in Middlesbrough Town Hall. They were rubbish, weren't they, anyway? In January 2003. They were all right, but the support band was Nylon Pylon. There's no such band, is there? What a brilliant name. This band has since become The Whip, and apparently people like them. Without doubt, the worst name, oh dear, and live band I've come across. I left in disgust and nearly didn't return for the main event as I was so disappointed with The Music's choice of support. Ian, The Pogues, Newcastle University, December 1985. They know the exact date. I know you expected the Pogues in their heyday to have had a few, but not to be so blind drunk they couldn't play at all. They were awful, so I left. And I've got a pretty high tolerance level. I won't stay for the whole of a Godfather's gig. Cheers, says Rich. So the worst show in television ever was on last night, right? It's called Jamie Oliver Eats Bacon.
Oh.
Did you see that? Jamie Oliver has a little bit of bacon, right? And it was weird, because Jamie Oliver's weird. He does what he does, and it's fine. But he had this thing where he was having, like, a debate, and he had, like, a Tory and a Labour and a lady and someone else, and they were talking about, like, bacon and stuff like that, which is all right. It was rubbish. And then they had this weird thing where it's all about eating bacon, right? And he says... He's not your husband, is he, or anything, Claire? The face you're pulling is like... And he says, all right, well, good news. Since we've been making this show, filming the show tonight, we've had 18 piglets born. And it cut down to these little piglets running around in a pen. And he's going, you've had 18 piglets born, don't forget, keep eating bacon. Now, I'm a vegetarian, so I found it particularly offensive. But even my girlfriend, who eats meat, went, oh, that's a bit gross, isn't it? And then they brought out this massive pig that had been cooked, and Jamie stuck a Union Jack in it, and then they all started dancing around it and rubbing each other. It was the weirdest thing.
What?
They weren't quite, but he was virtually dancing. Going, yeah, if it's got a Union Jack on it, then eat it. It's British bacon. Eat it. We've had 18 piglets born. Here they are. We're going to put a bullet through there. It was the weirdest. It was the grossest show I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible. If anyone saw it, I only saw the last few. Was it just me? Was it just me, or was it the weirdest programme you've ever seen?
You got that off your chest. Well done.
I want your Jamie Oliver again. You sounded a bit like Michael Crawford.
Do you remember a few years ago, you may not remember this, Michael Crawford, there was a big thing on Noel's house party. Michael Crawford was going to come on and do Frank Spencer for the first time in like 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out that Michael Crawford is now the only person in the world who can't do a Frank Spencer impression.
No.
He couldn't do it. Oh, Betty. He just couldn't pull it off. We have Lee Mack is outside. He can come in after this record.
Yeah.
He can come in during this record, for goodness sakes. Let's not keep the man waiting outside any longer than he needs. How do I do this? I press this button, don't I? Lovely.
Chase and status.
Ladies and gentlemen, very exciting. We're joined by the British Spike Lee. What are you doing? What's wrong with the chair?
I'm trying to get my chair to go back. I can't actually get it to lean back.
Why do you need it to lean back? What's wrong?
Well, I like to sort of be casual, and then it comes across in the performance. If I can lean back, you know, pretend we're friends chatting. But if I'm set bolt upright, I feel I'm being interviewed for a job.
Okay. Well, look, you're being handed two extra microphones. Look.
Oh right. So I'm owning this microphone.
Why not? I don't know.
Oh, what kind of shoddy ship are you running here? Do you want to explain the Spike Lee joke? Otherwise, people are going to go, he doesn't sound like a Britain.
It's
dancer.
Somebody else who's coming in later on. You've been handed. But I have got the Lee Mack fact sheet here.
Yeah. I'm not Britain's answer to Spike Lee, am I? I'm not any country's answer to Spike Lee. Never mind Britain's.
Can we do this? Like, you're,
should we start again?
No, let's not bother. It won't get any better than this. You're here to bang on. You don't need the headphones on if you don't want.
I quite like them, actually.
Okay.
I sound cooler than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's you, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Not Going Out is the sitcom.
Yeah.
Can I be completely honest?
How honest? You know when someone comes up to you and says, what do you think of my new haircut? And they go, can I be completely honest? You know it's not going to go well, do
you? No, I thought I would hate it because it looks like a BBC sitcom. And so I ignored it.
Right.
And then I saw the last episode of the first series, I think, and it was genuinely brilliant.
Oh, thank
it was,
you.
I mean, it's coming round to a compliment. Don't worry, it's a dark, treacherous road to get there. But it's hilarious. It had that look of my family about it.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen your family, but I can imagine what they look like.
Cheap and nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very, very funny.
Thank you. Well, it's a joke-driven thing, and I suppose there's not... You know, sitcoms tend to be not really jokey anymore. They tend to be more real, don't they, and dramatic.
For anyone who doesn't know what it is, cause this is the Daily Mirror. It's in every paper today. You know that, don't you?
Well, it's on telly tonight, yeah. I did actually... I went out and bought the papers and had a look. I don't usually do that. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to have a little read.
Can you just read... That's the Not Going Out description from the Daily Mirror.
Yeah.
Just for people who don't know what it is.
Yeah. As we know from the restaurant MasterChef and Bitter Experience, there are terrifying...
That's Gordon Ramsay.
Apart from the inconvenient fact that Lee Mack isn't gay...
That's how it starts. Yes. It's good, isn't it?
Who's written this? Alan Carr? Not Going Out. Almost reminds you of a British Will and Grace. Oh, almost. Almost reminds you of it. The rat attack gags... Thank God they put ratter at the beginning of that.
The rat-a-tat gags
and setup, of unlikely flatmates, might be as artificially manufactured and as full of dodgy additives as a market stall hamburger.
It gets to a good...
Who wrote this? You? But you can't get enough of it.
Yes,
yeah.
Pretty much.
So basically what they're saying is it's very much like one of those cheap burgers. You know it's not good for you.
Yes.
But you always want
the
second one. Because the first one's not quite filling enough. You know what I mean? There's not enough in the first one. Is there? You have one. And also, are they saying that, like those hamburger stalls, that we didn't, you know, wash our hands before we...
No, I'm sure it's all hygienic. There's no chance of catching anything from the show, is there? Is there? There's no...
Maybe Prince Philip will come out and scream at us. That's a true story, isn't it? What? A hamburger stand outside Buckingham Palace. Remember this story?
No.
Someone was cooking those hamburgers, you know, those cheap
stalls.
Yeah,
I know hamburgers.
Yeah, but picture the scene. It's a cheap one. There's onions frying. The cheap ones. The ones where you think they haven't washed their hands. One of those ones.
Yes.
And a member of the royal family came out. Literally came out of Buckingham Palace and said, move on, it stinks.
They did not.
That's what I heard.
Oh, it must be true, then.
Must be true, that
if that's Tim Vine is in it.
Yes.
What's he like to work with, honestly?
Oh, he's got a mouth on him, that
and
one.
And he just, eh? Yeah. It must be
two
hard.
Two sides to him. It's all clean cut puns when he's on stage, but off stage, the man is pure filth.
Bit like his brother.
Yes. Yes, Jeremy Vine, of course.
He's not his brother.
Yeah.
Jeremy Vine is Tim Vine's brother.
No, it's not.
Jeremy Vine and Tim Vine are brothers, yes.
No, it's...
How can you work in showbiz and not know that?
No, I'm not buying
it. They are brothers.
You know, the same way you and Bruce, you know.
Yeah, well... It is on Wikipedia that Christopher Lee is my grandfather.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Hey, I can top trump that.
Go on.
On Wikipedia that I'm Russ Abbott's nephew.
That
actually was on Wikipedia for about 7 months.
Yeah.
That I was Russ Abbott's nephew. I've never even met him.
On Wikipedia, for a long time, it said I was a gay cowboy.
Really?
I am not a cowboy. I've never ridden a horse.
My brain takes a while to digest things. What do you mean I could be Russ Abbott's nephew?
Let's
see that. What does that mean?
I can see the family resemblance.
I'm going to play a record now before it gets a bit nasty. Thank you.
BBC Six Music. Tomorrow night from 10. A Six Mix special. Elbow and other joints.
They should just do a podcast of all the stuff that we say off-air, I think. That's what the kids want to hear. Lee Mack is with us. We'll have more of him, like, talking and stuff. But first, it's time for the Six Music News.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Refinery protests spread. Honda to send workers home for 4 months and Brown's call for countries to work together in recession.
And in Six Music News, thieves target Amy Winehouse, Tony Allen at Cargo, and we hear from Stevie Wonder.
Six Music.
BBC News at 10:30. I'm Harvey Cook.
That's Six Music News. Your next bulletin's at 11:30.
Six Music.
BBC Six Music.
Anyway, you enjoyed yourself, Lee?
I quite like it in here, yeah.
It's all right, isn't it?
Quite cool. I'm reading all your pages or your web page. What do you call them? The page that you have on your computer, your home page. What's the
screen?
The screen.
Yeah,
that television's brilliant, but the faces aren't moving.
Have you ever?
I've never been out.
Have you ever walked out of a concert before?
Have I ever walked out of a concert? I have actually. I walked out of. Well, I won't call it a concert, but I walked out of a live musician last year.
Who was it?
I don't want to say, because I bet he's brilliant, but I just wasn't into it. And to be honest with you, it was the quarterfinals of Euro 2008, and I was missing it. And yeah. it was a great game at half-time. We went to watch someone from the Kinks, Ray Davis.
Oh, really?
And he's great. He's really great. But it was at Hampton Court Palace.
Yeah, it's too big.
And it was all a bit middle class and posh, and you couldn't take booze in. And it was just all a bit staid and static. So we went, let's nip out and watch second half of, I think it was Germany and whoever.
I feel bad when I walk out of gigs, but it happens. Listen, we'll talk about...
I didn't walk out. I went to the toilet and never returned. Is that the same?
there's a slight difference there.
On the way out.
Oh, hang on. Go on.
On the way out, I wasn't leaving. I was going to the toilet. I just didn't return. There's a technical difference.
I've muffed that record up now because of you, Lee. Do you like to apologise?
Well, do you want to apologise about saying muffed it up when that doesn't make sense as a sentence?
Let's play the Cardigans instead, they're better. Ian, I went to see Queen on the back of their Live Aid triumph, only to realise they probably only had 15 good minutes in them.
What?
You're not a fan of...
What?
Yes, he didn't like the Queen. He walked out of Queen. INXS were supposed to support them. Apparently, they broke down the way to St James's Park. Then we had Status Quo, who were equally dismal. When I tell people the worst gig I ever went to was Queen in 1985, they think I'm mad, and it was blooming cold in July that year. From Randy Malpasso.
I'm more fascinated by the fact that INXS broke down. That was said like they were all in a Ford Cortina and Hutchins was underneath, you know, going, this is the wrench, mate, this is gone. I mean, you'd just get in a cab, wouldn't you, and just get to the gig?
Well, you'd think so, but maybe, especially if you're playing like a stadium gig, there must be a contingency plan for bands.
For breaking down on the way.
So, you told me you're running a marathon.
I am, yeah. Is that music playing in the background? Am I going mental?
What music?
Sorry, I feel like I'm a psychopath. I feel like I'm... You know, that's the music that... Stabbing in the shower at Psycho, isn't it?
What music?
Oh, I feel a bit sick now.
So, why are you running a marathon?
I'm not running a marathon. I'm training for the marathon, yes. The Paris Marathon. Do you know what the best thing about running the Paris Marathon is?
Mm.
I'll tell you. It's after 20 miles, you get cheese and wine.
No.
You do. They give you cheese and wine after 20 miles.
Is that why you're doing it?
Well, no, I'm not.
You can't run
How much of a fat alcoholic do you think I am? I go, oh, there's a way of getting some free cheese and wine. I'll run 20 miles.
You can't eat cheese when you're running. You get all clarty and you phlegmy.
Clarty?
Clarty. Do you know clarty is a word, isn't it? Clarty is when you're like...
It is now.
Clarty is when you're sort of phlegmy in the back of your throat and you can't...
And the last thing you want is a dairy product because, as we all know, dairy products are mucoidal. Hence the reason why the Chinese, who eat less dairy products than the British, suffer less from your common cold.
Mm.
Well, I made that up. I absolutely made that up, but you believe me. I said that with absolute authority. But I think there is some truth in that. But they suffer more from throat infections, serious throat infections. I don't want to say the word because it's not really nice for radio, but serious throat problems due to dried fish. They eat more dried fish than we do. We're not big on dried fish, I've not. Have you eaten a dried fish recently?
No.
No, well, there you go. Your throat's fine. So that's the...
Is this your new material you're testing?
I'm trying out... It's not new material. I'm trying out a new angle of a doctor on a radio show. You know, when you go, medical advice. I thought that, you know, I'd give advice on what you should do. Don't eat dried fish. Cut down on your dairy.
Look at the Chinese.
That's my angle. My new angle.
Excellent. Well, we'll book him for George next week. We'll have him back in. And you're saying you're not doing much stand-up. Why are you not doing much stand-up? You are... Can I say this without, you know, you are one of the funniest stand-ups.
Am I? Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Better than Tim Vine.
Oh, that's very nice. Do you remember that night? I remember, actually. We won't say the name of the person, right?
No.
But do you remember that night? I remember seeing you on that boat.
Yes.
And then I went on, and then someone went on at the end, and it all got a bit tense. Do you remember
who was
that?
Who was it?
No, don't say. But it got a bit aggressive, didn't it? And everyone was frightened in the audience. And he's quite an aggressive comic, but in a good way. He's a good. But
I might have left before then.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I think I saw you, and I might have gone home.
All right. So basically, I'm trying to tell an anecdote about a comedian who I can't say the name of, and you weren't there.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. This is it. Sorry.
Listen, can I play another record? And you've got Steve Wright in a little bit, but you can stick around.
I'm more of a Six Music person than a Steve Wright person, let me tell you now. And you know what I'll be saying in an hour when I'm on the Steve Wright show. But I'll stay as long as it takes to win them back.
So two-faced. So two-faced. Right, I'm going to play this record properly now. Here we go. Oh dear. What on earth happened at the end of that song? Just squeeze of a second just to get our breath back after that. That was...
It's times like that you really watch your waddy waddy back.
There's never a time you watch Shawty Wally back, is there?
Tell me a man in the world that doesn't like to hear Blue Moon.
You started off a little bit too low. That's what gave me the problem.
I know where to go, though, did I?
Yeah, yeah. You were...
Oh, I'm regretting that.
Your programme starts tonight.
Let's call it a show. It'll sound more American.
Okay.
If you say programme, you sound like someone who hasn't worked in broadcasting since 1973.
Sell it to us, Lee. We've not talked about it. Sell it to us.
9:30 tonight.
Yes.
Now, else on. I'm not the hardest selling person in the world.
Not going out, is that what it's called?
I tell you, this is good salesmanship.
Yeah.
Say, what if we haven't seen the first two series though? What do we do?
Well, then they can buy the DVD.
Which is out Monday from all good retailers.
Got it in there, yeah, well done, lovely. Huh? This is series three.
This is series three tonight, 9:30, BBC One.
Oh, right, yeah, no, we've done that, yeah, we've got that.
Well, I'm trying to be more hard sell. I'm always told I'm not hard sell enough.
Okay.
I spend the amount of times, I mean, interviews going, well, you can watch it if you want, but I know there's a good film on the other side.
We've got a lovely press woman, Lucy, behind us.
Don't say there's a press woman here with me. It makes me sound all showbiz. How do you know that's not my wife?
She's very good looking.
Oh, nice.
There we go. Oh, I just snagged off your wife. I've never met her before. You got a ring on your finger?
I haven't got a ring on my finger.
Well, you can't be married then.
Why? What does that mean?
You've got to have a ring on the
have
finger.
Have you ever thought I could be married in curlers? I mean, with my ring. I lost my ring after 6 weeks.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No.
6 weeks. And I lost it on tour, and I had to be like a detective. I had to ask people.
Had to be like a detective. Let's hear how you had to be like a detective.
I had to contact people that were at the gig. I had to put a little message out, right, saying if you're at the gig, send in photos. Because you know they take photographs on the phones and stuff. So to trace which gig I didn't have the ring on.
Brilliant.
So I traced it. I thought, oh, I've got the ring. I can see the ring on that. And then in the next photograph, I didn't have the ring.
Okay.
So between those two incidences, I lost the ring. I traced it down to a hotel room in Scotland.
And did you
I didn't find it,
no,
but I knew that's where it had gone.
Okay, so.
And then I had to ring that hotel up and say, my ring was taken from that room.
Yeah.
And they goes, how do you know it was this room? I go, because I've done my investigation.
Yeah, I've got evidence.
And they goes, well, it hasn't been found. And then that meant, it's not been found because it's been stolen by someone who's been in that room.
Yes.
Namely, a member of staff.
So
I was very accusatory.
Would you like everyone to send in pictures of people they've seen wearing rings?
Can I put a plug out for the ring?
Please do, yes.
I will give £5,000 to the person that finds this ring. I promise you, it's sentimental value.
Don't say where it was stolen from.
Oh, I'm not going to. No, don't worry. I wouldn't do that. £5,000 reward if you can find my ring. Now, I'll describe it, OK?
OK.
It's white gold, so it's going to look silver, basically.
Yes.
It's got a blue sapphire at the top.
All
yeah.
Right.
And on the inside, it's got the initials T and L in Chinese writing. Yeah. Chinese sort of style.
You should keep
writing.
Keep one little thing a secret. Don't give the whole description.
Someone could make it.
Someone could make it like a cheap one.
Yeah.
And then they've got £5,000 off of Lee Mack.
You're missing one important point, don't you?
Yeah.
They've got to know the size of my finger. You hadn't thought of that, had you?
What are you, an N?
Can I give the final description? Inside the ring, a tiny blue sapphire. You ready? You got your hankies ready?
Yeah.
Which represents the birth of my child.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't laugh. Show some emotion.
I feel terrible.
It's not the idea.
Okay, well,
you're supposed to cry. People get upset. They text in and go, I bought that off eBay. Here, have it.
Well, if your ring turns up, Lee, we'll Cheers. Forward it on
it's
to you.
It's not going
to
happen, is it?
No, it's not going to. No. I'm getting married in a few months. I'm just going to keep it on. You just keep it on your finger. That's what you do, isn't it? You keep it on your finger all the time.
I see. Do you know what? I still reckon that prostitute took it.
Right. Anyway, so Not Going Out is on tonight.
Yeah.
BBC One.
Yeah, 9:30.
Yes. There's a DVD.
Yes, DVD's out Monday from all good retailers.
Is there anything else you want to plug?
You can't get it at Zavvi, though. For some reason. I've tried. They're not answering the phone.
Lee, it's nice to see you again.
And you.
I see you again at
some point. When are you going to do stand-up again?
I'm
you used to do a great thing where you used to pretend the emu.
Oh, do you
I remember
saw
that. I saw it twice. You pretend you forgot emu or something, or Roddle. Imagine Roddle without emu.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'd attack people with your arm in the audience.
I did.
It was brilliant.
I used to drag someone across the stage.
That's right.
I don't know how I did that. I could never do that now.
I know. Luckily it went well. If it didn't go well, that would be awkward. And dragging someone across the stage as people aren't laughing, that's awkward.
That's just a bad.
That's just awkward. That's just.
Maybe I should. I might resurrect that part of the stuff. But I will. I will maybe come and see me one day.
I'll come and see if you're still doing that act. Are you still doing that act?
No.
Not as big now, Emu, as he was when you were doing your act.
Lee, nice to see you. Take care.
Cheers in.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Noel Clark, is coming in after 11, which is very, very exciting. I've just met him. He seems like a very nice gentleman. All the guests we've had today have been very, very nice gentlemen indeed so far. I've got to do some of these texts. We've been asking you at the start of the show. Gigs that you have walked out of, whatever reason. Let's do a few of these. St Etienne. Oh, dear. St Etienne ended their set saying, "We are not a rock and roll band. We don't do encores. They only did 45 minutes. Wish I'd known when buying the tickets I would have kept my cash. Useless," says Paul the Painter. These gigs you walked out of and bands that you think have left you a little bit shortchanged, shall we say. We went to see Ocean Colour Scene in a moment of nostalgia. I know. Of what? I didn't recognise any of it. It was so bad, we made a sharp exit to the pub, says Jen in Bath. Ian, my wife just told me she walked out of a Napalm Death gig because she was scared, says Liam Warrington. Ian, I treated my wife and friends to tickets to B.B. King whilst in New York. It was at B.B.'s own venue. I've been there. I saw Ronnie Spector there. It was wonderful. Full of dining, cigar-chomping suits, and B.B.'s chant that New York was money capital of the world was whooped and cheered. It stank. We walked out. Ali and Berry. And the final one on the email is, Ian, I walked out of the blues band at Peterborough in 2006. I wonder why. The audience comprised mainly of fairly affluent people in their 50s who probably remembered Paul Jones from the Manfred Mann Band in the 60s. None of them had any sense of cueing or any type of basic manners. The sound was sterile and the time spent between every song was spent promoting each of their 30 albums released over the years, which apparently were on sale in the foyer. This got really bad when it... This guy's furious. Mike is furious. This got really bad when it came to light each band member had recorded solo albums, which were also available in the foyer. I left early in total disgust after paying £18 for the privilege of being told about the availability of the back catalogue in the... flipping foyer. Yes. Needless to say, I didn't buy so much as a greatest hits and never will. Keep those coming in. We'll do those. george.6music@bbc.co.uk. 64046. Noel Clark coming up after a bit of this.
BBC Six Music. BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
It's very exciting. Noel Clark's here. Hello, Noel.
Hi.
Can I just say, we've all noticed it, and we're all going to say it, you smell delicious.
Do I? Mm.
What the hell are you wearing,
it's,
fella?
It's my natural odour, if I'm honest.
Really?
With you. Yeah.
You wanna bottle that?
I do.
Call it the smell of NC.
Scent of Clark.
That's what you want, fella. Everyone's doing it. Britney Spears has got her own scent in a bottle.
I know.
All the stars.
I've smelled that. It's not nice.
Is it? Well, in your humble opinion, sir, I'm sure it's an excellent...
Yes, in my opinion.
There was Ben DeLisi, the fashion guy, came and smelled delightful, didn't he?
And I don't normally say that when I first meet someone.
I do have something on, but I'm sure I'm not allowed to advertise, so
I can't
tell you what it
is.
It's Laura Mercier. It's Laura Mercier almond and coconut.
Oh man, I love it. See a bit of the coconut. I'm a fan of the coconut.
There you go. That's what it is, man.
Hey, listen. Can I just say I'm a big fan of Doctor Who.
Ah, thank you.
I think the last couple have maybe gone a little bit off the boil slightly, but you've not been in those.
I've not been in those. No.
That's why. That's why. How much fun is it running around, jumping through dimensions with a massive laser gun, fighting Daleks and Cybermen? Come on, it's the dream, isn't it?
The dream. Amazing fun. I had a whale of a time doing it for the last however many years I did it for, and it has just been amazing.
I've just noticed you're 2 years younger than me.
Indeed, 23.
Yeah, thank you. Who's your doctor? Is your doctor Peter Davison?
Peter Davison,
really?
Yeah. Yes, okay, indeed. Yeah. Who was yours?
Mine was Tom Baker. Peter Davison was good.
Yeah.
And then Colin Baker, it went down a bit.
Very
Sylvester McCoy. What? Joe McGann.
You don't need to tell me, man. I mean, yeah, it kind of really went on a slide.
And be honest, and you can tell the truth.
Yes.
Are you a proper Doctor Who fan, or when you got it, was it just a gig?
No, I wasn't like a Whovian, but I was. But I was a fan. I did watch the Peter Davison stuff, and you know, I remember when old Adric died and all that kind of stuff. And
I had a little tear when Adric died.
No, I was quite chuffed actually.
Did you not like Adric? Because he healed and he could do maths, couldn't he?
No, I don't remember that much. It wasn't that much. Of a fan.
He died because he was in a spaceship that was going to crash into the planet Earth.
Yep.
And he worked out a way to stop it.
And it blew up. That's all I remember.
It had to crash into Earth to kill the dinosaurs and start evolution. That was...
I don't remember that. I just know he died.
I've just embarrassed myself by looking
and
like
I do know that I wasn't a fan of his, and so it was very saddened when a few people compared my character to his character.
Oh, no, you're better than Adric. Adric was a little bit weird.
Thank you.
But I was watching a comedian last night who was referencing the fact that Doctor Who's got a time and space machine. Yeah, he just spends a lot of time in Cardiff. That does seem slightly odd. That seems slightly odd.
It's a nice city, you know.
I'm a big fan of Cardiff.
I'm a big fan of Cardiff.
But I'm kind of envious that you're in it. It's the dream.
Was in it.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah,
never coming back? Never coming back?
Not that I know of. No. My only involvement, as far as I know, will be sitting on the couch watching the new guy run around.
he's too young. He's 26. You've got to have a doctor younger than me.
I've worked this out.
Yeah.
I think I've worked this out.
Go on.
He's going to get progressively younger.
Yeah.
So by the time it's the 15th, he'll be like a 10-year-old kid.
A little boy. It's like Benjamin Button all over again.
Yeah.
Did they ever make a toy of you? Is there an action
figure? Yes.
Oh,
indeed.
Man.
There is. There is.
Come
indeed.
On. How much fun is that?
It's more fun for the 8-month-old who's biting my head at the moment. You know.
Oh, you got a little kid?
Yeah, my little boy. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be brilliant when he gets a little bit older.
And he realises what it is.
Daddy, yeah.
I'm off, son, but here, have that.
I got a friend of mine who's in Pirates of the Caribbean, and there are action figures of him, and his little kid loves it. You know,
fantastic.
It's superb. But listen, the Doctor Who, that's in the past,
in
man.
In the past.
I didn't realise that. Which one did you direct, Kidulthood or Adulthood?
I directed Adulthood.
No, directing, I'm not being funny, that's a proper job.
Yeah, I know.
That's like hard work and stuff.
It was surprisingly hard work.
And I was genuinely, I heard that the other week or something, that you directed it, or a few, I heard it before I was doing this, and I was like, oh, fair play, that's I'm quite surprised, because you see actors, no disrespect, you see actors on the telly, yeah. You think, oh, it's an actor, you know what I mean, they're just saying words, some are good, some are rubbish, but to actually then go on and do the directing.
Yeah, wrote them both as well.
Did you really?
Yeah, wrote them both, Kidulthood and Adulthood.
We've got a clever gentleman.
And wrote an episode of Torchwood as well.
Yes.
In season one. Oh, did I jump the gun? Sorry.
I wasn't going to say that.
Sorry.
I was trying to move on from the Doctor Who, but I was going to try and do the whole interview without mentioning it.
Yeah, it's gone, it's done.
It's done, it's finished.
In the past.
Okay, so Kidulthood and Adulthood.
Sure.
Good. Which one did you direct? Sorry.
The second one. Yes, indeed.
And how did that come about?
Basically, I just sat on my couch and wrote it. Like, no one said, oh, that first one did all right, let's do a second one. I just kind of wrote it, and we went around to certain companies, and the Film Council and Pathé were like, yep, we'll do this. And the director who directed the first one passed on it.
Yeah.
He wanted to do other things.
What a fool.
So then they asked me to do it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking, but I don't want to direct for another 10 years. But then my wife said, maybe you should, you might not be in a position to direct in another few years. Yeah. You know, we could be homeless.
There's a credit crunch going on. Do you not know what's happening?
Yeah. So she said, do it. I said, good idea, woman.
Was that did you?
Yeah. Kind of in that pose, I kind of stood quite regally with the little glass in my hand.
And a pipe in the other.
So, good idea, woman.
Is it the first thing you directed?
Yeah.
And it's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's not even like a little thing at the Donmar or something like that, you know. No. Which is how most people start, do a little thing at the Donmar, then maybe they do an episode of My Family, and then a movie. Yeah. You've done a movie. It's
a movie straight away, yeah.
I'm genuinely very impressed. That's why I keep banging on about. Listen, I'll play a record. Can you stick around for a few more minutes and we'll talk more about this and the BAFTA as well? Very exciting. This show is all about kids today. It's all about you. No, you're saying you're a little 8-month-old.
Yes, indeed.
What's his name?
Samuel.
Samuel. And you just, fitting with the song there, he's just learnt to clap.
He's just learnt to clap.
Come on.
Literally, like the last couple of days, he's just mastered it. So
what fun.
Walk into a room and he's just like, you're like, all right, mum's not that impressive, so...
Well, you wait till he starts high-fiving. My little niece, who's from the age of... just before one, I think, you say high-five, the hand goes up.
Fantastic.
And she does it, and it's such good fun, man.
That's the mission. I'm going to teach him that. Let him get the clapping properly, and then
get him clapping properly.
Right, son. Today, high fives.
You should do that little homework every week. This week we're going to do the high fives and we're going to do a little bit of moonwalking. That's what we're after. Okay, so listen, you've got a new film coming out. Let me get this. Hang on, where are we here? Have you got a new film coming out? Doghouse.
Doghouse. Yeah.
Yes, please. What is it?
Doghouse is a comedy horror. Comedy horror.
Lovely.
With Mr. Sir Daniel Dyer.
Who's he?
Oh, son, Danny Dyer.
Oh, yeah, Danny. Yeah. you thought there was someone called Sir Daniel Dyer. No, of course, it's the Cockney layout. Yeah, so we like him, he's good.
And Stephen Graham, and
it's a
comedy horror, and we're celebrating Stephen Graham's character's divorce, and we all go to a small town, and when we get there, all the women are man-hating zombies.
Oh, I love zombies.
Yeah,
but man hating zombies. That makes it sound all the more spectacular.
Yeah, and it's very funny. It's very like really a sort of Shaun of the Dead comedy horror. It's really funny.
These zombies run or do they shuffle?
They kind of shuffle.
They're the shufflers,
but they're the ones that they shuffle when you think they'll never catch me, and you turn around and they turn back and they're like right in your face, like. How did you if you really think about it, like, how did you get there?
Yeah.
I think when you turn away, they probably sprint.
Yeah.
And when you turn back, they go, whoa.
Did you see the Charlie Brooker Dead Set program?
I did. With
the Big Brother. Didn't we see the Big Brother zombie thing? Mm. Oh, man.
Good mate of mine was in that, Mr. Adam Deacon.
Really?
Is in both my films.
Which one was Adam Deacon? Which?
The sort of little Moroccan-y street
kind. Oh, yeah. He was good. I'm a big fan of Charlie Brooker, but it was. Yeah. I love the TV producer with the handlebar moustache.
Indeed.
Just kept effing and jeffing all the time.
Well, they still exist, you know, those producers with the weird moustaches.
Especially in the world of Big Brother, you know. they get very funny in Big Brother. You go in there and there's certain words. You're not allowed to say the word bully on there. They just say, could you not say the B word, please? Which word? Bully. They get very funny about what you can and can't say. But so, Doghouse, that's coming out this year, is it?
Yeah, that's coming out in the spring, shouldn't it?
Did you write and direct it?
No.
Just acting in it. Lazy.
Yeah. It's one of my lazy jobs.
Yeah, come on.
It was like
on
vacation, it was.
Pull your finger out, dude.
I know.
Are you going to do any more directing? You must, obviously.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I've written a couple of scripts that are out at the respective places, and hopefully one of them.
How does that work, though? Because everyone says, oh, yes, you can't know, it's so difficult to make films. But you're just saying you write it, you send it off, and it got.
No, it's very, very. No. Rewind. It's very, very difficult. I mean, the fact that I've written them that's all it is. That's the fact they're written and they're out with the respective companies because they've paid me to write them.
Okay.
It does not mean they're going to get made at all in the slightest. You're going to have to do so many drafts and notes and then they still might not make them. It really depends. It's very, very difficult.
I trained as an actor.
I know, I could tell, man.
Yeah, so, do you give me my number or anything?
You're in, I can... There's a part for you already.
You're a tall, lanky, unattractive, bug-eyed man. Get me in there, fella, get me in. Now, listen, you are nominated...
I am.
...for a BAFTA.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at you, hey, fancy pants. Right, was it Rising Star?
Yeah. Wow.
That must be weird. That's weird, because that's... That is very proper.
I know.
I mean, you've won awards like TV, like Quick and all those.
No, I've never won any of those stuff. No.
Did you not?
No. The shows I've been in have won stuff.
Okay.
Me personally, I just kind of stand in the background and clap for whoever's won them.
For the Doctor Who Award, who gets to keep the awards? Do you get anything?
I think, if David or Catherine or Billy or whoever won them, they keep them. But if it's the show... Yeah. The producer, I think, keeps them. They're in the office.
That's not fair.
Or maybe Russell gets to keep them.
You should be allowed to have one for a week.
No, they don't do that.
Okay, so this is your proper award. This is an award for you then. BAFTA Rising Star Award. But people can vote for it.
People can vote for it, sure, yeah.
So there must be some way of rigging this, surely. This is very popular at the moment.
I don't
Isn't
know.
It with the Blue Peter Cat and everything? We
really?
Must be able to
Blue
do...
Peter Cat?
Okay, so I think that if we go to the Six Music website or the Orange...
Orange BAFTA website.
Ellie
as well.
Knows the facts, yes.
Yeah. Just go on there and you can click on your face, Noel.
They can click on my face or any of the others, but preferably my face.
So obviously. Do you just sit at home all day? Click. Refresh,
no,
click,
I think
refresh.
You can only vote once because it does something. I blocks it. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't tried or anything like that.
when is it happening now? When do you know if when are the BAFTAs?
At February the 8th. The big award show with all the. Stars should be there.
Oh, listen, man. Best of luck. It'll be. Who are you up against?
I don't remember.
We don't want to know any. No, we don't want to know those.
Nah.
No, listen, man. I wish you best of luck.
Thank you very much.
It's very exciting to see you. You know, make the move from TV to movies, and I hope it all works out very well.
Thank you very much indeed.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks for coming in. I'm going to do this now.
BBC Six Music. Later this year, they'll be performing at Wembley. Good to me. Oh, you are so good
to me. I just think that the O2 Arena is too big a venue for comedy. Lee Evans did it, and Lee Evans is a physical comedian playing in a 17,000-seat arena.
Well, I'm kind of at the back as well, so we'll see how it goes.
I'm not telling you off, but Chris has bought tickets to go and see the Russell Brand. And, well, I'm not telling you off. I just think comedy that big is obscene. The Hammersmith Odeon, I think, is as big as it should get, and that's too big still. You want to see comedy? Go to a comedy club with 250 people.
Bathhouse. That's good.
Which one's the bathhouse?
It's on... Oh, what street's it on? Dean Street.
I think I played there.
Oh, have you?
I may have dreamt it. Anyway, we're asking you to... The bands that you walked out on or you saw and you thought they had shortchanged you. Ian, I went to see Queen at Nebworth in 86... Watch Baloey Sum. Who are they? Quo and Big Country. Then we were decided we were thirsty, so we went for a pint in Stevenage instead of watching Freddie's last ever gig. Tom in Birmingham says, Ian, the Wonder Stuff are one of the best British bands ever... That's what I think of that nonsense. We'll do one more and then we'll do some more after the news. Ian, I saw the Charlatans playing the main stage at the Reading Festival in 2005. I was gobsmacked to see that Tim Burgess had to read the lyrics off a sheaf of paper. Plus, they had rearranged their songs to the point where they were unrecognisable. I was so put out, I had to go and drown my sorrows in a paper cup of nasty overpriced lager. 64046, george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Send in bands that you think have shortchanged you or you've walked out of. But time now for the Six Music News. Oh, nuts, I pressed the wrong button there. I was bang on time as well. I was back counting and everything. Oh, balls, there's a psychedelic first, this one.
on digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Refinery strikes spread. Honda set for shutdown and man in football row stabbing sentenced.
And in Six Music news, friendly fires, Las Vegas fears, Damon Albarn disappoints on stage and Eagles of Death Metal's Ladies Night.
Six Music.
BBC News at 11:30. I'm Harvey Cook.
Ian Lee on BBC Six Music.
Let's finish off some of these and then we'll throw something else into the mix, shall we? Ian, we all walked out of an Air concert 2 years ago. Maybe we should never have walked into it in the first place. Dull doesn't even cover it, says Johnny in Lancashire. Do you remember Air?
I love it. I remember them. They're still around.
Sexy boy.
They're amazing.
The album was good. It was kind of a chill-out album.
They did the Virgin Suicide soundtrack as well.
Did they really?
Yeah, must hear.
Did they really? Well. You wouldn't want to go and see them live in concert, would you?
No,
we
didn't.
I'd imagine...
Did you go to sleep? Can't imagine. Mm.
I would. Yes, it would. Mm. Here we go. Yes, I remember these. Uke Monkey is from Norwich. I think that's how you said. Or Uke Monkey. I saw Corner Shop at a festival. I'd never heard the original version of Brimful of Asher. Enough said. Because the original version is Bobbins.
Mm.
It's terrible. I remember them when it was like a big hit, number one probably. And they were on Top of the Pops. And it was all quite exciting. They were on Top of the Pops. And it was this slow kind of sort of almost folky but not quite as good as folk dirge. That album, oh, turgid. They're still around, aren't they? Corner Shop are still churning that nonsense out. That's the Corner Shop rant out of the way. Ian, I walked out of a tribute Pink Floyd act. A clinically obese guitarist, a stripper yelping to the great gig in the sky, and a talentless Kevin Keegan lookalike is not Pink Floyd, says Paul in Sheffield. that's harsh. Ian, I walked out of a gig at Exeter University. The band was The Twang, and they were rubbish. Probably the worst band I've ever seen. Like a school band that think they're really great and have something really... Here's something really impotent to say, but I guess they mean important, but should just shut up, pack up and go away. Ian, I walked out of a gig at Brixton Academy around the time Miss Jackson was a hit. Oh, Outcast. Oh, yes. Andre 3000 started abusing the crowd because they only knew the words to Miss Jackson and none of their other songs. Oh, and this is my favourite. This is my favourite. Shaking, I Won't Sing Green Door, even though it was my biggest hit, Stevens, at Glastonbury last year. The crowd politely waited with bated breath as he droned through some of his new stuff. Like anyone actually knew or cared he produced anything new in the last 2 decades since his last hit, Green Door. Did he play Green Door? No, he didn't. Even when the whole stage, even though the whole crowd was shouting Green Door, or in fact braying at him, he even had a massive prop Green Door on the stage. And he wouldn't even sing it. Liz, what a tease you are. Isn't there I'll look up this on YouTube. Isn't there a clip on YouTube of him not roughing up Richard Madeley, but on the... Can we look at Richard Madeley shaking Stevens. There's a bit where Shaky, like, turns on him and sort of has a bit of a go at him. I've seen the clip. We'll find it, we'll watch it, we'll report back to you, dear listener. What we should do for the rest... When's the sports gentleman coming in to talk about sports?
After midday.
After midday, it's sports, dear listener. That's right, sports, something I know zero about, but I'm willing to learn. But up until then, and maybe after... Yesterday, we did the ugliest band in the world. I think they were called the Mingers in the end.
They were, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, can we try and find the most beautiful band in the world? The band that, whether they're musically talented or not, is irrelevant. It's just full of good-looking people. So we want a good-looking drummer, a good-looking bass guitarist. That'll be hard. The bass guitarists are always weird people. Always quite gangly, bass guitarist. Oh, hang on, I've just thought
one,
actually.
That's
you, then. I am the bass guitarist in my band. I've just thought, though, Susie Quattro. Susie Quattro's an early... if anyone can find a better-looking bass player than Susie Quattro, you'd be hard-pushed. Guitar, rhythm guitarist, lead guitarist, singers and backup vocals, please. The best-looking band, if we can make it today. george.6music@bbc.co.uk. The text number is 64046. Here's the School of Seven Bells. I was going to play another record, but I pressed the wrong button, so we'll talk for a second, then I'll play The Clash. I'm so sorry. It's my last day today, and I just... I want to get... Yeah, it's well done, to be sad. It's, who's the fellow who's back next week? What's his name? The tall, good-looking fellow with the
remember.
Hair. He's got the hair. Ooh,
Bob.
Good. Bob Lamb's back next week, kids. So, everybody who sent in stroppy emails. You can stop now. It's worked. I'm going home. I ain't doing this anymore. Nicky Wire for bass. Dangly but pretty. I don't see that myself, really. Singer and the guitarist should be the girl from the... How do you say that? The Noisettes. Scarily beautiful. I'm not convinced by that. We are looking for the most beautiful band members. We're going to make this band and they're going to play a concert. Don't matter whether they're any good or not, you know, on their instruments. It's just going to be stunning. I still think Susie Quattro... David Sylvian from Japan as the singer. Yeah, he was. It's a possibility. I hate Japan just because... Not the country, it's a wonderful place. But just because my sister used to listen to Japan all the time when I was a kid, and it's just boring. Speaking of... My friend Shinomi, she's over. Yesterday, the touristy things we did yesterday went on the top deck of a double-decker bus.
Well done.
We said, Shinomi, do you want to go on a double-decker bus? Oh, yes. She got very excited, very excited. We went to Fortnum and Mason's.
Oh.
It's off Piccadilly. It's very weird. I was looking on a map trying to find, because I don't know where it is. And I was going, which road is blooming Fortnum and Mason's in? And this bloke just went, it's over there, Ian, down there, turn right. I said, what? Where did you come from? This mysterious guardian angel. It's the most expensive shop in the world. A bottle of champagne they had in there. £2,000.
Wow.
£2,000 for a bottle of champagne. There's no credit crunch happening in the world of the Fortnum and the Mason. They're doing very, very well. What other touristy stuff did we do?
I did touristy stuff with my friend, Jesse.
Oh, God, what
America.
Did you do? Yeah.
I took him to Yates's.
What's that? The wine lodge?
I wouldn't go with that wine lodge, so that makes it sound a bit
classy. There's a buck of...
Yates is the pub.
Oh, no, but you want to go to a proper boozer.
We ended up in Leicester Square, and yeah. I just didn't know where any were, so we ended up in Yates's. And I was like, it was like going back 2 years, though. Like, all the people were dressed like it was 2007.
You're in London.
And the music.
Leading the tourists.
Yeah, London. Exactly.
You don't know
don't
where
get
there
me to do the tourist guide
there
thing.
Are there any pubs? Just walk down any street in London, and there'll be a
it's unreal. I get lost. I can't find things. It's ridiculous. I walked around in a massive circle last weekend. Like, just...
I just stop there. I can't. This is The Clash. And on and on and on. Ad infinitum. I have Lucy Roberts, who I love and is wonderful, has texted in. And I was tempted to suggest this, Lucy. I will read it out loud, but we can't accept it. I know he won't be everyone... Making the good-looking band. I know he won't be everyone's cup of tea, but I've always found the young Mickey Dolenz extraordinarily appealing. Can we sneak him in on drums? I would love to, but he looks like his face, he's running to a wall very fast, and his face has been... You don't know who Mickey Dolenz is, do you?
I have no idea.
You've never heard of the Monkees? The
Monkees.
Greatest manufactured band with their own television
show. Have you even seen the TV show, yeah.
Have you really?
When I was wee.
Well, speaking of the wee, I've had a wee next to Davy Jones there, so it all links up in some kind of cosmic circle.
Beautiful.
Let's do... Oh, I'm throwing that away, and I need that. Let's do a couple more of these, and we'll do the news. The Japanese band, the 5678s, are pretty well the best-looking band as they stand, ready-made. I think we've got our drummer. Little obvious, but the Coors are the best looking, if not the most talented band. It should be pronounced Coors. I think the drummer from the Coors is going to have to make it in there at some point. We don't know her name. We'll just call her
Sharon, isn't it, or something?
Sharon Coor. We'll call
bizarre
her,
like
and
that.
She's on the drummer on the drums. Okay, we need bass, guitar, lead guitar, singers, backing vocals, maybe a keyboardist as well. 64046 george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, if I can press the right button and not put the newsman off his stroke, here's
there's
the
no
news.
There's no news. There's no news.
Oh, Christ.
It's the top of the hour. You've been doing this
just
all
12
week.
O'clock.
For a second, I thought I was back at LBC. Heaven help.
BBC 6 Music on digital, online. BBC 6 Music. Ian Lee on BBC 6 Music.
Very exciting. Johnny Saunders. It's Saunders, not Sanders, isn't it?
Saunders, yes.
Is in the studio. Now, I've heard you on, like, proper radio, Radio 2 and stuff.
This is proper radio.
Well, you say that. But really, digital, really. Hey, listen, mate, it's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
A sporting expert.
Well, yeah, that's the misnomer.
I don't
know
nothing about sports.
Do you not?
I don't. I'm not a sports fan. Do you? Are you one of those that is snobbish and doesn't class the darts or snooker as a sport?
Oh no, I do. I class darts and snooker. I think Phil the Power Taylor, the darts player.
What a legend!
What I mean, but he's a real champion. That guy is an incredible sportsman. Yeah. Oh yeah, no.
People who sneer at it say, well, yeah, but have you ever tried to play darts? Have you ever tried to play snooker? Snooker looks well easy. The first time you go on a full size snooker table, you just can't do anything. You get a break of seven, that's good.
Yeah, it's definitely. Just... No, they make it look very easy, and the darts players make it look very easy.
Yes, okay.
It's tough.
Well, we found a common ground already.
Yes.
What's more exciting? We've got Michael Vaughan.
Yes.
And Angela Rippon.
What a combination.
Are you there, Angela and Michael?
Yes, we are, and I have had darts lessons from Bobby George.
Have you really?
Yeah, that's my sporting claim to fame over and done with.
I bet he wore more jewellery than you did, Angela.
He did. But you see, he only wears it on the left hand. He doesn't wear it on the right hand, which is the dart
throwing hand.
Well, that was
all the power must be our greatest ever sportsman.
Well, I'm glad you say that, Michael. Apart from yourself, of course, for winning back the Ashes in 2005.
How many world titles? Has he got 14?
No, he's more than that. Yeah, 14. Wow. But the great thing is, and I think you'll back me up on this, that, you know, for a champion to win so many titles, he then went away, he didn't win it for 3 years, and then he comes back and sort of... You know, he's remoulded himself, and his hunger to be a champion is as great as it's ever been. And that, Michael, I would have thought from your point of view, you know, it speaks volumes, doesn't it?
I can relate to that at the minute. No, that's no, he's a champion. He's and you said it's such a skilled game, you know, darts. I mean, anyone who can obviously go and get a board and have a go, but it's unbelievably skilled. He's up there with Tiger Woods.
It's the maths that throws me on the darts. The mental arithmetic is incredible. The speed those gentlemen do it when I need a double 16, a triple. It's ridiculous what's going on there.
I think that's fantastic. And in fact, Bobby George was spearheading a campaign to get kids in school to play darts to help them with their maths, because you know he came up with it and said this is a way to get children to enjoy maths and to realise that it does actually have a practical application when you grow up.
And it's even become. Quite a fitness regime that I hear they're all doing now. It used to be 10 pints while they were playing, didn't it? Now I hear they go in the gym. I don't know what going in the gym is going to do to your darts, but...
You just get to the hockey a bit quicker.
Yeah, cool. You've got fitness programmes.
You know, I mean, Phil the Power's lost a lot of weight. And so, I mean, but you probably need maths, guys, for collecting things, don't you?
You know? Give that man... Now, there's a Radio 2 link if ever I heard
one. Thank you very much.
Yes, you do. You do. Well, do you need maths? Yes, if you're going to count up what the number of things that you've got in your collection. But Michael and I, between us, have actually got quite a few things that we've collected. But we are looking for other people who have collections, not just any old collections. We want quirky collections, because we've both teamed up with Norwich Union to try and find Britain's quirkiest collections, so we can make a documentary about some of these quirky collections and their collectors. But more importantly, we can choose five of the top quirky collections and give those five winners £500 each, so that they can go out and spend it on their collections or buy new ones.
What do you class as a quirky collection?
Well, just about. I mean, in the stuff that I do for BBC One on daytime, Cash in the Attic.
Cash in the Attic, which can I say without any irony is I flippin' love that programme, Cash. That
and
is brilliant.
The Good and Sunsea and Bargain Spotting, which we do in Europe. I see all sorts of extraordinary things. Well, quirky things. Supermarket trolley coins, French champagne bottle tops, matchboxes, decanters, perfume bottles,
that's
tins, teacups, old carpenter's tools, handkerchiefs, crested china, Disney. I could go on. Anything and everything that is unusual.
You mentioned, the coins in shopping trolleys. People collect those.
Oh, yes. I've got a couple. I don't collect them. I've just got a couple that I've been given by various charities. Because, you know, when you go to the shopping trolley and you've got to find a pound and you stick it in the shopping trolley, you haven't always got one. But if you've got one of these little coins, they're useful. And I've got a couple of them that I kind of carry around with me for when I go shopping. But there are people now who are collecting these. I tell you, anything and everything is collectible.
Yes. Michael, do you collect things?
I do. I'm like most sports people, and throughout my career, collected memorabilia from all different kinds of sports, but obviously the majority being cricket based, shirts, bats, gloves, boots, and at the end of every game that you win, you always see the clamour to go and grab the stump. So the six lucky players clamour for those stumps. You get the team to sign it. I have about six or seven of those from victories around the world, and probably the most prized possessions are the photographs and the memories that you can bring back to you from just looking at all the photos on the wall. So I'm lucky enough to have a room where I've got photos plastered all over it, a few shirts. I've got a bit of Brian Lara stuff from his 401, obviously things from the Ashes in 05. So there's some really nice memories to draw back from that.
Well, you mentioned the photos. Which is the best, though, Michael? Of all the things that you've got in your collection, which would be the one thing you'd say that's, if everything had to be taken apart from one object?
Well, I love all the shirts and stuff, but I have one or two fantastic photographs. There's one of me and Kevin Peterson on safari in South Africa of taking a picture of these elephants, and it's
not the recent safari he went
What's staggering is Kevin Peterson's hair in this picture is a massive bouffant,
like it was in the Ashes in 05.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. So I guess that picture's quite a cool picture.
Okay, and are you going to be collecting runs off the Australian bowlers in the summer,
really,
Michael?
Good,
you
man.
See,
I'm taking notes, isn't it? It works on Radio 2. I'm sorry, you know, it's in the genes. If you work on Radio 2,
it is. Michael,
I hope so. Yeah, that's my goal. I have to collect a few runs for Yorkshire first, and then hopefully be collecting a few more England runs later on in the summer.
Michael, Angela, listen, it's a pleasure and an honour to have you both on the line. Thank you so much for that, and we shall keep on collecting. Johnny, I'm going to play a record, then you're going to tell us about some more sports, aren't
you? Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
This is rather apt. It's the Spencer Davis Group and Keep On Running. Is that deliberate or is that a quirk?
It's a quirk.
Well done. If you could be here now. We're just doing yoga positions. I think... Oh, Christ. There we go. I think that's... Isn't that like a... Is that a monkey in a tree or an eagle in a tree?
Yeah.
That's the tree with your leg
pigeon.
Up there.
Mm.
Oh, look at Johnny. Look what you've done. You've got your fingers.
No, that's what you used to do at school. You used to get people to do that and then you just go like that. Ah!
What a bully. What a bully.
Check it out on the webcam.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not really one for radio, is
it? Can we just say... Michael Vaughan and Angela Rippon.
What a combination. Oh, wow. The thing is, we weren't expecting Angela, were we? She's like a Brucey bonus there.
The favour comes up. It's Angela Rippon. Well done, sir, for getting what you did out of that.
It was very little.
It was tough. I was
what
lost.
Did we get out of that? We got out of the fact that Michael Vaughan's got a photo of Kevin Peterson with very big hair.
A bit weird.
That Angela Rippon...
collects the coins that go into
shopping trolleys.
Well,
I never knew that there were extra coins apart from
pound coins.
So I learned something.
Yes, but well done.
What else did we learn?
That was it.
That Michael was over-modding on his microphone.
We learned never to get those two on the radio together ever again, as it's very, very dull. Anyway, Johnny, you can save it because you've got sports facts.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm a huge sporting fan.
I know you are.
I can't get enough of that sport.
So here we are. We're in January, end of the transfer window in football. So lots of activity expected over the next 48 hours. I know you're excited.
Has the man gone for £109 million?
No, he hasn't. That was going to happen. Right. Manchester City, who've got loads of money, bankrolled.
Bought by Arabs.
Yeah, indeed.
Yep.
Bankrolled by oil, essentially.
Yep.
And they had all this money, and so they were going to go out, and all the signs were that they were going to get this guy, Kaká, who plays for AC Milan.
It's pronounced Kaká, is it?
Kaká.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah. And he's from Brazil, and he's the best player in the world, or one of the best players in the world. They bid over £100 million. Now, the previous most expensive player before that was a guy called Zinedine Zidane, who cost £46 million.
Really?
So they were more than doubling.
Do you remember when I don't like football, but I sometimes learn facts just to impress my friend Steve. Do you remember when Alan Shearer went for £15 million?
Indeed,
and like,
I do.
Oh, £15 million, what's it coming to? And we're
absolutely
now talking over £100 million.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened.
Okay.
So still the most expensive player is £46 million.
Okay.
So in a way it's quite good, but that would have doubled, more than doubled, the most amount of money paid.
Is there no credit crunch in the world of football? Isn't that collapsing financially?
No, but because when you're bankrolled by these guys who've got all the money from the oil and the various other businesses in the Middle East, it kind of defies, because oil is, what do they call it, liquid gold, don't they? So they've got all this money, the football, and the TV rights mean that all these guys have got the money from Sky, because people want to watch football on the telly. Even more so now, maybe, in the credit crunch, because they can't afford to go out, so they'll pay their 30 quid a month rather and so they can 40 quid a month, it is, that you can watch all your TV at home.
Is it true the Russian fella's getting bored of Chelsea and is going to sell it?
Well, Abramovich, there have been rumours signs that he's you know, getting a little bit bored. But Chelsea have strenuously denied that.
Yep.
But you know, he's no longer the head, you know, kingpin anymore, no, because of the guys who've come in from the Far East. Yes. Not Far East, the Arab countries,
the Middle East.
The Middle East.
Is that the Middle East? I'm never quite sure which East.
Yeah,
is
it's
where,
sort of
which?
You know, it's the Emirates, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, no,
because it's all relevant to what I'm about to talk about. In that a lot of players are supposedly going to be moving clubs over the next 48 hours. Newcastle United. Now, they're not a team in great run of form at the moment, but there's potentially a lot of players going in and out. Kevin Nolan from Bolton Wanderers could be going to Newcastle United for £4.5 million. But going out, a guy called Shea Given, their goalkeeper, probably going to Manchester City, this club we're talking about. He's handed in a transfer request at Newcastle. City only bid £5 million, bearing in mind they had £100 million to buy.
Yeah, that's nothing.
So it's nothing. And Newcastle want more than that, so they wanted £8 million. Something will probably be sorted out there. Given's handed in a transfer request. And then there's this guy called Charles Nzogbia. Now, he's thrown a little bit of a hissy fit because his manager on Wednesday night, after his interview, Joe Kinnear, after the match, called Charles Nzogbia. He called him Charles Insomnia.
And he's all upset and he wants to leave now.
He's a fit of pique here.
Brilliant.
And Nzogbia has said, I never want to play for Kinnear again, because obviously, you know, calling him Insomnia is the greatest insult
he's
ever had. He's French, but he knows what insomnia means.
Right, yeah.
And it's basically, you know, the whole sleeping fiasco sort of element to his performance.
Right.
As something that has irked him. And Kinnear says that why Nzogbia said this, it means it's a desperate attempt to try and engineer a move away from the club. It's all a ridiculous story.
Yes.
But anyway, that's that going on there. Elsewhere, Manchester City, again, are looking to buy Roque Santa Cruz from Blackburn Rovers. They've had a bit of £18.5 million turned down, we think. That's the fourth or fifth time that they've had an approach for Santa Cruz turned down by his current club, Blackburn. Meanwhile, Blackburn are set to sign Elhadj Diouf from Sunderland. Diouf used to play with the current Blackburn manager, Sam Allardyce, when they were both at Bolton. It's very incestuous, isn't it, football?
It is. I like when the fella went from Portsmouth to the Spurs. Is that...
That's right, Jermaine Defoe. Very good.
No, the
Spurs.
The manager I'm talking
Harry
about.
Harry Redknapp.
There we go.
As well.
I'm really clinging in by my finger.
No, you're
now,
good.
So
it's good. It's good.
And he then just brought everyone from Portsmouth, didn't he, to the Spurs?
That's right, the Spurs. They've signed Jermaine Defoe.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. The Spurs.
The Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, the Tottenham Hotspur.
Now, when does this... There's only... In my day, you could buy a player whenever you wanted.
Exactly,
now,
but it's only January.
So
tomorrow night. Was it 1st of February on Sunday morning?
It is. My sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Joe.
Yes, well, she'll be... Obviously, she's more excited about the transfer window
she's
at the moment.
She's keeping her eye on it,
yeah,
closely.
Is she?
Now, shall I play a record, then we'll have
some please
more...
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm letting you down terribly, Johnny. I'm doing my best. Here we go.
Three. New drama on BBC Three.
Absolutely bonkers. There we go. Right, Johnny. I said they should make a podcast of all the stuff we say off air, because that's where the interesting stuff
said.
Is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Johnny. Listen, I've got to you do your sports now.
Okay, I'm just going to do one more thing on football, because
yes,
at the top of the Premier League, very interesting at the moment. Man United are top of the table, and they played a game less than all their opponents. They got 50 points. Chelsea play 48. Liverpool will play 48. Why is this relevant? Because I don't know whether you remember, the Liverpool boss, Rafa Benitez, had a real go right at the start of the month against the Man United manager, Alex Ferguson.
He was stirring up in a sort of
Absolutely. Now, since Rafa Benitez went a bit, you know, went on this big rant against Sir Alex Ferguson, it's kind of backfired on Liverpool, because they haven't won a single game since then. And Man United have won all five of their games.
Isn't that what Ferguson does? Is he winds people up and then sits back and watches it?
Absolutely.
Well done.
He's a master tactician. But anyway, that is very interesting. And United this weekend are playing another team. Very good. Called Everton.
I could have told
they're
you that.
Everton.
Can I just say, well done. I would have thought, listen to you on the Chris Evans show, I would have thought you'd have come in with reams of notes. He's doing this all from memory, dear listener. All of this is from memory. Oh, you've blown it now. Go on, what else?
Quickly, tennis. Finals of the Australian Open this weekend. Roger Federer into his 18th Grand Slam final. This is a big deal. If he wins on Sunday, he'll win his 14th Grand Slam, which will equal Pete Sampras' record, i.e. he'll be the greatest player of all time. He'll play either Rafa Nadal or Fernando Verdasco. Verdasco's the man who beat Andy Murray.
Murray's
now,
out there, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Now, that match might well be finished by now, but the last time I saw, about half an hour ago, it was one set all, but Nadal was playing extremely well. Women's women's final, Serena Williams against Deneira Safina. Williams is the sister of Venus Williams. Safina's the sister of Marat Safin. And Britt Laura Robson is into the girls' final. She's a really good young player.
She's 15.
Yeah.
15 years old. Incredible.
And she's playing really well. Golf. Colin Montgomery's been appointed as new European Ryder Cup captain this week. That's big news in golf terms. And Monty's very much missed the Ryder Cup as far as Europe are concerned. And they're playing the USA. He didn't play last year, so he's the new captain. He's already had a text of congratulations from Tiger Woods, which said, congratulations, but don't forget, I'll be back next year, so bring it on.
Oh,
so Monty kind of down to earth.
Well, Tiger Woods, as we know from those adverts, is a very violent man. You've seen the adverts where a guy's having a shave and Tiger Woods is whacking golf balls at him? Have you seen that? You think, Tiger, get out of my bathroom, I'm having a shave. He's going to be a nasty piece of work.
I haven't seen it. Presumably for a shaving product.
It's for shaving, but it's him. It's Thierry Henry and another man, a tennis player, and they're both having a shave.
Federer? Nadal?
Yeah, why not?
Federer.
Why not?
Oh, we'll go with Federer.
Borg. It's Connors. And this bloke's having a shave, and he keeps getting hit by balls. And it turns around, and it's that lot just hitting and kicking balls.
And what's the relevance? How is that selling the shaving product?
I don't know. It's put me off buying it, to be honest. Yeah, it looks very violent.
Yeah, so it's worked in the opposite direction. Just funny, cricket. I know we got so much out of Michael Vaughan just then that it's probably worth, you know, not doing cricket. But England are preparing for the first test against the West Indies next week in Jamaica. They're playing the final warm-up game in St. Kitts at the moment. There's big doubts about Freddie Flintoff and whether he's going to play in the first test because he's had an injured side. There we go.
He's injured his side?
Yes, he's got a side sprain.
Oh, bless him. He's away from boozing too much.
We should have asked Michael.
We should have asked Vaughan.
But instead, we know that he's got a lovely photo of Kevin Peterson with big hair.
Johnny, listen, it's genuine and honest to meet you, sir. Thank you very much
very
for
nice
coming.
To meet you as well, Ian.
Thank you very much.
See you soon, I hope.
Well, fingers crossed, if I can find some way of just making sure George Lamb has more holidays. I'll see what I can do.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Man stabbed to death at bus stop, unofficial strike spread and mortgage approvals rise.
And in Six Music News, Las Vegas honour Echo and the Bunnymen, Great Escape Festival lineup announced and War Child ballot opens.
Six Music.
BBC News at 12:30, I'm Harvey Cook.
Ian Lee on BBC Six Music.
But we all know Mykonos is a dump. It's a beautiful song, I love that, and I love the album, The Fleet Foxes, but have they ever been to Mykonos? Have they ever seen what it's like there, for goodness sakes? There's only 18 minutes left, and then the moan comes in, and it's back to Six Music being normal, and back to me not being here. Doesn't matter. George is back next week, so sing hosannas for that, dear listener. We're trying to find the best-looking band so far. We have on drums Sharon Corr. Turns out it's not Sharon Corr that plays the drums, but I think she's better looking than the drummer anyway. So Sharon Corr's on drums. On bass, Nicky Wire. Just because we've had so many people texting and emailing and saying Nicky Wire, so we sort of have to go with that. Neil Pierce says you should have Gemma Hayes as the singer. I don't know who Gemma Hayes is. Is she hot? Is she good looking? It has to be beautiful people, not like striking. You wanted the Eagles of Death Metal in there, Chris, didn't you? They're good looking men, but they're not beautiful.
But his moustache alone should get a part in the band.
Well, his moustache can be in the band, yes, but he certainly cannot.
His moustache can play triangle.
Yeah, he can. I'm not convinced about Gemma Hayes for the singer. Ah, here we go. Well done, Matt Martin. Vocals, Debbie Harry. In her prime, of course. We wouldn't want the reformed blondie having coming anywhere near this. But Debbie Harry, when she, you know, was in her early 20s, yeah. Man, there was no woman was more beautiful. Then he says backing vocals, Shirley Manson.
Yes. Thank you.
No, I'm not.
I'm writing it down.
Well, you can't write it down. No. Your list is... just because, again, a Scotch. And she's in the new Terminator series, is she?
She is. She played the Terminator. I'm not sure if they killed her, but she's the Terminator in the new series of Sarah Connor Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Which means no more garbage, though. I'm a bit upset.
It's a funny sentence, but made better by the punctuation at the end. Mm-hmm.
So I did a finger click and I had.
So there you go. And we've got a lot of people saying the bass player from JJ72. Mm. And we've seen a picture of her. Ellie, you're pulling a face.
Mm. Yeah, she's all right.
I agree with the face.
I thought she was quite striking.
Oh.
Anyway, it's Nicky Wire. Nicky Wire's doing it. Simon's getting all stroppy. Simon Miller. I'll have you know, I'm a bass player and I'm not fun looking. In fact, not to blow my own trumpet, because I haven't got one, but I'm known as the eye candy of the band. I'd like a full retraction of your previous statement.
That makes me worry about the rest of the band.
Lino says Sheila E is the drummer. Brackets, no, she's not Scotch.
She is. I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Adam Ant as the lead singer. He was voted best looking man in pop in 1985. I love it. Have you read Adam Ant's autobiography?
No.
What a book. I got it, I think, just before Christmas. What a fantastic book. The man is... When I was filling in over Christmas, I asked him to come on. Told me to get stuffed. The keyboardist from the New Young Pony Club is a stunner. I'm not sure. We need a lead guitar. They haven't got to be ladies. They can be gentlemen as well. Mm. It can be gentlemen. We need a lead guitar, a rhythm guitar, and backing vocals would be good. Oh, stop talking, boy. Here come the Eagles of Death Metal, my new favourite band after yesterday. Oh, and it's the album of the day, so you get to hear this as well.
Album of the day.
Yes.
Six Music.
Album of the day, Six Music, yes. Oh, the Eagles of Death Metal. I actually love them. What was brilliant yesterday, I called, it was Jesse, wasn't it?
Jesse, he's your main man.
And I said to him, a bit of the Ace Frehley's going on there. He played an Ace Frehley lick over the next song they played. That's how good they are. What was that song? I've just lost it there. It's Anything Except the Truth. And it's the album of the day is Heart On. We like. Ellie, would you like to announce who the lead guitarist is going to be in the most beautiful band we ever done see?
None other than Nuno Bettencourt.
And the whole country goes, huh? But explain who he is.
Of course, the main guy in Extreme.
More than words is all I have to do to say. Just me singing now. I thought we were going to join in there.
In his heyday, I just checked him what he looks like now.
So I would imagine he's bald now because he has that sort of long, thin hair.
He's still got the long hair.
He's still got the hair.
That's the problem.
Nuno, okay, so we need a rhythm guitarist, we need the backing vocals, but so far the band is looking mighty hot, but we've got to get in touch with the BBC, aren't we? I am for another 10 minutes, then I'm back to commercial. But we have the power to get these people together to play a gig, don't we? Don't we?
At 1 o'clock.
Yes. Yes, at 1 o'clock. That's the... Okay, rhythm, guitar and backing vocals, please. george.6music@bbc.co.uk. 64046 is the text.
BBC Six Music. Later this year, they'll be performing at Wembley.
Have we all calmed down now? Have we... Claire, are we calm now? For goodness sakes, this is no way to end my stint here. And with people enjoying themselves and laughing, isn't it give the wrong impression of what the whole week's been like?
I have tears in my eyes.
Yes, well, yes. We have the band, dear listener. We have the most beautiful band of all time. And this is it. Are you ready?
Yes.
On drums, Sharon Corr. She's not the drummer from The Corrs, but she'll do. On bass, Nikki Wire.
Hooray.
Lead guitar, Nuno Bettencourt.
That doesn't even sound like a name.
Rhythm guitar, Nuno Bettencourt. He's good enough to do two at the same time. That's how good he is.
He's got a double neck.
Lead singer, Debbie Harry. Backing vocals, it's close. It was going to be All of Girls Aloud, apart from the one that no one likes. But I have ruled here it's going to be the girl from Echo Belly. I don't care that you'll say she looks like Connie Huck. She doesn't look like her. She's stunning.
She don't look nothing like her.
Ellie, thank you very much for turning up today. Chris, thank you very much for coming on the radio.
Yes,
Scotch.
Thank you.
Claire, lovely. Good production work there. Excellent stuff. This has been Inley, filling in for George Lamb. He's back next week, so the panic is out.
I'm clapping you, not the return.
We're ending like that. Nimona's up next after the Undertones. What a disappointing ending.